Mornington Glory comes up to the corner. 300 metres to go from Estriella, Lady of Camelot. Johnny Rocker running up behind them, followed by Coleman. Mornington Glory, 150 metres to go from Estriella, trying to wear it down, followed by Coleman running on. Mornington Glory from Estriella, still Mornington Glory, and Mornington Glory won the Moya. Hayasugi second, photo third, Lady of Camelot prominent, Estriella I wish I win, then Coleman.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Previews podcast. We are reviewing Moya Stakes Day at Moonee Valley and Chelmsford Stakes Day at Randwick, which also featured the Concord, where Kieran Maher quinella'd the race 1-2 with obviously I Am Me and Bella Nipotina. I reckon they ran 1-2 or maybe 1-3 in the Sydney Stakes on Everest Day last year as well. So obviously the big talking point was Gavin Bedgood winning his first Group 1. That was absolutely massive. A week after, Enver Yusufovic got his first Group 1 as well. So it's been not a good start to the season for punters in the Group 1s, but it has been a great start for some of these trainers. Will Alford, how did you enjoy your weekend and your day today?
Yeah, weekend was good. I went to the races on Saturday. Like, you just forget how good Moonee Valley is to watch the race. Like, the big days, the Group 1 racing at Moonee Valley, I think it's like a unanimous thing where everyone sort of just agrees upon that Moonee Valley, when there's Group 1 racing, it is the best joint to watch the races at. And, I think everyone thinks that. So,
yeah.
I wish they race there a bit more often, but, you know.
I can't believe we didn't get the All-Star Mile.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Moonee Valley is just the perfect track for the All-Star Mile.
I mean, it makes sense because they want it for the lead-up run to the Australia the Cup or whatever. Cup. And then they've also, Newmarket Day is a little bit quiet without it. So, it makes sense, but just like the theatre, I guess. I hate that fucking word, but, when the crowds, everyone's on top of each other and, you know, you're so close to the races and it's awesome at Moonee Valley.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, I enjoyed my weekend as well. Thanks for asking, mate. it was a busy, busy day, but I still got to watch everything, and I was actually standing on the stewards tower filming the Moya as Mornington Glory sort of kicked into the straight, and Gavin Bedgood was at the bottom of the stairs smoking a dart, watching the race.
Of course he was.
And yeah, I'm like,
nervous start.
Gee, how good is that? How good is that?
Group 1 Gavin. He's never to be referred as Gavin Bedgood ever again. It's Group 1 Gavin from now on.
I know. The mailbag boys call him Jesus, but I don't think that's even good enough anymore.
It's not doing him justice.
Group 1 Gav sounds better to me.
Yeah. And I've been abusing that on racing.com every fucking chance I get. Racing.com, Group 1 Gavin.
G1.
Yeah, G1 Gavin.
Yeah, absolutely. This is completely off topic, but my day was just ruined, bot, because I just opened up the fridge and I picked up a carton of what I thought was some nice juice. It was chicken stock.
Oh, yuck. How the fuck does that happen? Who puts chicken stock in the fridge?
Mate, I was not happy at all.
Is that why you've been breathing a little bit more heavier than usual? I was going to say, you sound like probably Nick.
Probably. I've just been coughing up my guts for the last 10 minutes, I think. I thought it was some nice pineapple juice or something like that. Because it was in one of those, what are they, 2-litre cartons that look like juice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The worst brand. There's no, it's just very simple branding and it's easy to mix them up.
Disgusting. Disgusting. It's almost as bad as one time I did the same thing and mistook peaches in juice as egg yolks.
Oh no.
That was probably even worse, to be honest. Shocking.
It sounds like you're the issue there.
Yeah. I think I'm just a gut. Anyway. Yeah. Let's get on to the racing, shall we? Moonee Valley. Tell me how good the track is playing. I think it's playing
pretty well.
Oh
my god, I was gonna say it's I like the 3 for 3. I don't remember Moonee Valley playing so well in ages. Like, you know, last year was a disaster, but
yeah,
it's been fucking brilliant for racing.
I would say probably lane one was still slightly off. They wanted to race off the fence for most of the day. Maybe it quickened a little bit towards the end of the day with just warmish weather and a few winds. But we saw Miss Aria get up along the inside in the last. But overall, I thought it played pretty fair.
Yeah, it was good. But the track played really well. And the good thing about Moody Valley as well, you don't get – there's no sort of wind.
It's not as bad.
Like at Caulfield, it can get really dodgy, but at Moonee Valley, it's that's not affected because of the grandstands. So yeah, you don't have to worry about wind.
Yep. All right, let's get to the group on. Mornington Glory was able to win his third race in a row. All at Moonee Valley, obviously. He won a benchmark 100, then he won the listed car line. Now he is a group on winner in the Moya. Incredible placement, incredible training effort by Gav. He's been able to lead this at a pedestrian tempo. They haven't even broken the all benchmark to the 600, which is farcical for Group 1 sort of 1,000-meter average. At the Valley, Lady of Camelot and Estriella, they were happy just to let Ethan Brown do his own thing. Hayasugi ran really well into second. The three-year-old, as I said, Lady of Camelot third. Estriella had a bit of a wide run, but they went slow. She finished fourth, and I Wish I Win came with the booming last 400 to finish fifth. What'd you make of the Moya, mate?
Yeah, I mean, with 1,000-meter races, it's a bit different with, like, the averages and stuff because, you know, there's only sort of 400 meters to the six. And then, I thought it was even – it wasn't as quick as maybe most people thought it was going to be. I don't think it was – pedestrian though, but you sort of expected that, but you know, most of the field are better over 1,100 to 1,200 meters. Like Estriella, who started favorite, never run over 1,000 meters before. Lady of Camelot was, you know, she's a Golden Slipper winner, and I guess people sort of liked her. Well, she was a massive drifter in the race actually, but people were, you know, pundits liked her because she looked to be the squibbiest of the lot, I guess. Squibby's not a good word for it.
It's harsh. I think we all just assumed that they'd be well suited at 1,000 meters.
Yeah,
that was the assumption.
That's what I'm sort of saying. But yeah, she raced like Lady of Camelot in particular. She raced like a horse that won at 12, and I saw Gay gave Zach Lloyd a bit of a whack after the race too. She said, What you gain in weight, you lose in experience, which I thought was, you know, I thought he probably could have tried to lead. She half missed it, but, you know, they weren't going overly quickly, like we said, so he probably could have been a little bit more urgent, but, you know, I think it's a little bit harsh.
Yeah, it is a little bit harsh, but I think the frustrating thing for Gay is the fact that Lady of Camelot hit that flat spot, which she did in the Whitten Stakes first up last prep, and then she came again on the line and she was unlucky in the straight, so... She's probably thinking in her head, if she just goes fast the whole way and leads, then she's fighting out the finish.
Yeah, instead. And I don't disagree with that either. I think if she probably does go a bit quicker, like she, and that's why I'm thinking, like, I think she is a better 1,200 meter horse. And I've heard people say they're disappointed by her performance, and I just don't agree with that. Like she's run close enough she's a bit off it, but she's not. She's not that far off her Golden Slipper rating where it's like she's in trouble. Like she's run thereabouts and we're saying like she's better for further. And she's a three-year-old filly. She can go back to, you know, that sort of grade. I'm not saying they will. I don't know where they go now. Maybe the Manicato. But, yeah, she's a really good filly. And so is Hayasugi who ran a career peak and first up and you know, She's the flashing white runner, I guess. No one's going to miss her. She was enormous. The last 200 meters was really, really good. She's come back well, which is exciting for connections, I guess. But, you know, they're probably going to aim up. Like I think people are saying she's favorite for the Manicato and
second favorite.
Sort of, or second favorite. Yeah, I don't know. You'd expect I Wish I Win and a couple others to take a little bit more of a step forward. I don't, you know, you're probably going to have to run 102, 103 there, I'd probably say, and she's run just off 100 here, and maybe she can do it. She's run really nice splits, but yeah, But yeah, on Mornington Glory, like, I don't think it's been talked enough. Like, this horse was literally fucking retired. last year, he was a retired racehorse, and within two preparations, Group 1 Gavin's got him winning a Group 1. Like, it's, I don't think that's been talked about as much as, like, and I know Gav said, like, he's a sound horse, so it's been relatively easy, but, you know, he picked him up just for the sake of it, and he's run 101.2 in a Group 1 Moya Stakes, and he's won it, and he kicked on the turn. It was awesome. So, you know, I think there should be a little bit more. Like, it's a, I don't remember, like, that should be, like, everywhere. Like, why is Mornington Glory, who was retired this time last year, winning a Group 1, not, like, everywhere?
I don't know if it was completely public knowledge that he was retired, and I reckon that answers
but
that
still
question.
It should be.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people just think he was transferred from Matt Laurie to Gav, and Matt couldn't get him to go. But yeah, he was basically sitting in a paddock doing nothing. And the only reason Gav got him is because he purchased Charlemagne.
Yeah. Do you want to take ownership. This one too? Yeah.
You want to take this one too? Turned him into a Group 1 winner. This horse ran in a Class 1 on the 22nd of September last year. And now is a Group 1 winner. Less than 12 minutes later, 12 months later.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. And obviously the other key story is Ethan Brown. That's his first Group 1 winner since his, you know, massive race fall where, honestly, he could have lost his life at Flemington that day. So it's crazy.
Yeah. It's a good bit of narrative anyway. I thought Estrella was a little bit disappointing. I think she's and I don't know if she's completely suited 1,000, but she had her chance. And you know, people say she was 3 wide, but they weren't going at it. That sort of pace should have been comfortable for her. She was the one they absolutely hammered into. She was soft early in the week, and they backed Lady of Camelot. In the last sort of hour of betting, it completely flipped, and she started $2.80 Betfair. So it was a massive gravitation of money towards Estrella, and Lady Camelot was completely at the gate. So the market got that one wrong. And I think you've sort of got to be skeptical about that that Flemington rating now, because she's, maybe that's being harsh because she's still relatively unexposed and she was first up here. But that rating there is that she was on the, she was in the perfect position on that Flemington track that day. You wanted to be exactly where she was. And aside from that, she's never gotten anywhere, not nowhere near it, but she's a bit off it. So going forward, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical about that. But it is interesting how heavily the market backed her. So, yeah, I thought Coleman was pretty good. I heard they're going to put blinkers on him, which is I think that'll probably suit him. He's on track. He's just not a 1,000-meter horse.
He galloped well on the blinkers at the Valley on Tuesday.
Yeah. And obviously I Wish I Win, who was, you know, he was, it's just not his, everyone sort of thought, well, the market actually sort of kept him close. He was a side of $5 Betfair, so not, they didn't like launch into him or anything, but he was kept safe. And he's well off what he's done sort of since he's been in Australia. But, you know, again, everyone sort of expected that. It's Moonee Valley, 1,000 metres, and he was rattling home. The last 200 metres is really, really good. So he's on track to get back to whatever he wants to do. Even still, like the Manicato, that's where they'll go. Moonee Valley is just a little bit sticky for him, I think. Like, you know, they go a lot quicker at Moonee Valley than what they typically do at other tracks, and he's effectively going to be chasing. And I think that's half the reason Mornington Glory won, because I think he's just about the only true 1,000-meter horse in this race, and they're all chasing him from the 600. Like he looks like, you watch the vision, he just looks so relaxed going at that sort of pace, and they're all being pushed along. You know, I don't want to say Mornington Glory, like, he can't go further, but he's just so suited to 1,000, especially around Moonee Valley. So
They'll go to the Scalacci next, which is 1,100. I don't think there's many other 1,000-meter options for him other than the...
No, there's not. It's funny. We've only
Caulfield
got...
Sprint is the other one, but I think that... I don't know how he'll be handicapped now.
Yeah. We've only got 2 1,000-meter Group 1 races in Australia, which is weird because, you know, we breed for speed.
Yeah. yeah, for a country that, yeah, as you said, produces sprinters, we probably should have one or two more. But anyway, we probably don't need any more group ones at the same token. Can get rid of some of the other ones.
Just quickly, sorry, I thought Cabalas was, you know, he ran last, but if they drop him back to a group three somewhere, I think he could be just a sneaky sort of one. The map was
always going to be awful for him.
Yeah, like he was over racing early, he was back and wide, and you know, the last 200 meters, there's someone there. So if they drop him back to it, like for example, a race, I don't know, maybe like a group three, even like a Scalacci, like, you know, it's going to be a completely different race to what this was. So he could be getting involved there.
Yeah. So Mornington Glory went to 101.2, which actually equaled the run of Pericles. So let's go to there in the So You Think. We're working backwards a little bit here, but I'd just segue into this race. Pericles, I think, got the perfect race shape for him. He's ended up starting sort of $1.80, $1.90. He sat off Buffalo River. I think it's fair to say in this race there are three different races within the race. There's Buffalo River going at a fast tempo. There's Pericles going at a good tempo. And then there's the rest of the field going at a sort of slower tempo. And he just had everything made to order.
I don't think they went quite as quick as what people think they did in this race, which is interesting because...
There's a lot of bad rides.
I think that's the case. You know, like that's what we sort of said during the week. Like this race was just set up so perfectly for Pericles because, you know, Winamek and attrition had drawn wide and, you know, they were going back and he was effectively 10 lengths behind Pericles at the 800 meter mark. So good luck with that. So anyway, but I thought Muramasa was very good and he's back. He was sort of quite poor in the spring and he didn't come up, but he's definitely back. He's run a really, really nice race. Immediacy was very good too. He's this year's sort of version of Muramasa, I think. Munamek
Blanco, I like that.
What do you mean? Oh, because for the Koonji.
The Koonji winner last year and maybe this year's Koonji winner.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's probably a suitable race for him. Independent Road was just sort of in the right spot, so it was pounding. But, you know, the races to follow out of these, the horses to follow, I should say, is, attrition went well, depending on what sort of race they target him at, though. They'll probably go to the Toorak. And, you know, like if you get 40s or 50s like last year, then maybe, but I hope they maybe a race like the Fiend or something could suit him if they ride appropriately. Yeah. Immediacy, like you said, was really good. So was Muramasa. Those are the sort of main ones in the race. Pericles. I didn't really talk about Pericles. He was really good. He didn't run to his absolute, but you know, he still ran a really nice rating. And if it kept to these sort of level races, he can keep winning. Like I heard someone call him a non-winner. Like, are you fucking, like he's not. He's just pitched up in races he can't
please
win. Like he runs really, really good races. He's like the perfect, like it's like what I was talking about with Buckaroo last week. Like you just put in poor races, you put these horses in poor races, they cannot win because they're just not good enough. But they run really, really well and you put them back in grade and they can win. So, you know, this is what's happened here. He's not going to win an Epsom. Like, he ran second in the Golden Eagle. Did he run second in the Epsom or something?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, the Doncaster, I mean.
The Doncaster, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's there or thereabouts in those sort of handicap races, but he's not like a weight for age Group 1 races, Group 1 horse. And he's a really good horse.
He is going to a weight for age Group 1 next start, but it's not going to be our best weight for age Group 1. It's the Underwood 1800 metres, and there's going to be a lot of deadwood in the Underwood. There's going to be a lot of resuming stays who probably aren't there to win. They're not going to get a penalty into the cups because you can win weight for age races and not get penalised. But still, he's going to be third up, race fit, coming up against horses like Place to Carousel, Faulkner Park. We're hoping Antino backs up because we've got 50-1 on him after the
final. Did I take any of it after I told them that they should fucking back up?
No. I didn't even pump up my own tires for tipping Mornington Glory at 50-1. But anyway, story for another day. I want to pick your brains and go back to race one quickly. Evaporate is a horse who has been able to win three in a row, I believe, two in a row at the Valley. He's carried the 60 here, put down a rating of 92.9. Look, this is quite an average race, only a three-year-old open, but he's going to go to the Group 2 Bill Stutt Stakes next on Grand Final Eve. What'd you make of his performance?
I mean, it was okay. It was like, from a ratings point of view, it's nothing that I get excited about, and he's probably going to start 20, 30 to 1 in, you know, in that sort of race.
No way. But he won't start that long in a start.
What's going to a start then? What's in? Like,
I don't
give
know
me an idea of the sort of horse. Like from a past year, like, who won the start last year?
The Caulfield Guineas winner won it.
Griff. Oh, that race. I know the one race you're talking about. Oh,
Griffin Vidad ran one.
He beat Vidad. Oh, God. It took 11's Vidad. It started like $3.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, actually. That race would be run and won, especially this year. It's a strong year. So maybe 94, 95. So he'd probably be 10 to 1, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to go there. But, you know, this race isn't particularly strong. It surprised me because I thought he was a really bad favorite. And I backed Coco Bill, who was awful. I don't think he coped with a little bit of extra pace because he came out of a slowly run race and sprinted really hard. A Captain Barbossa was better than what it looked like because he was asked to do a lot between the 8 and the 4, and it was quite a bad ride. But yeah, Evaporate was good, and Stylish Secret was pretty good as well. But, you know, if he'd need to go to a weak race to win. Like, these aren't very, very good horses. Like, maybe, yeah, I'd say Evaporate's probably inside $15. I'm not going to jump out of trees to back it or anything, but, you know, it just depends on what goes there. But if a horse an example of last year, like, I didn't like the exposed form, so I backed Vidad off a good maiden win. Like, I'd much rather back a maiden horse off a good maiden to beat it, I guess.
Yep. All right, fair enough. Let's go to race 5. This was the Chautauqua Stakes, and much to my disgust, it wasn't taken out by a horse who wore Chautauqua's colours. Not talking about Snapper, I'm talking about Arkansas Kid, who regressed off his last start victory slightly, and that left the door ajar for A Little Deep, who brought the sort of Sans Doute form. The track was probably helping the way it played it get into the race, and it was able to swoop down the outside and win off an even tempo, posted a rating of 97.7. So I think this is actually a pretty good win, Bot.
Yeah, it is. It is a good win. I didn't see it coming. I didn't think she was any good, to be honest. I thought she was. I've never really had an opinion of this horse, and it's sort of. This race is. It's improved heavily, and, you know, it finished like it was, you know, could go a little bit better. Arkansas Kid, it sort of missed the start and had to be pushed up early, but the pace wasn't anything ridiculous, so you can't really make that excuse for it. The first up win, I think if you want to take anything out of the last start race, and, you know, it's probably too late now, but the first three in run, they went really slowly to the 400 meters in that the Rigarola. And the first three have, like, disappointed heavily since then and sort of progressed to their prior ratings. So maybe just pull, like, for the three of them, at least pull it down and don't get carried away with that Rigarola rating. But the horses in behind them running on in really nice splits. Like, for example, Vagrant was, like, my horse that I really wanted to follow, and, of course, I went to the fucking Memsey Stakes out of it. Like, help me out. Yeah, I want to get a bet out of it. Arkansas Kid sort of reversed to his prior form. Desert Lightning's improved with the new stable, which is good. Like, she'll improve up to a mile. And I'd forget the rest, I guess.
Desert Lightning has actually posted the best rating in the race, obviously carrying the 60, 61 kilos. look, he'll go up and trip 1,400 metres, 1,600 metres. I reckon there's a good race in it if they sort of keep it in this listed Group 3 sort of company. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah.
Moving on.
He's only first up too. Yeah, moving on.
Yep. Moving on to race 6, which was the Atlantic Jewel. When Bot and I obviously previewed this race on Wednesday night, we had no idea about it. But if we had a previewed it after the other horses came out, then we would have tipped up Silmarillion, or I would have anyway, because it had a clear ratings edge on the rest of the field. And even though it sort of missed the jump a little bit here, settled back, Karen McAvoy was able to balance it up and win easily. $2.40 on the fix, Superlicious third, Sakima third, and Sassy Jenny in fourth. Bot, was this just a case of a superior animal coming down from Sydney?
Yeah. I think everything happened for it perfectly. Like, there was a... They sort of slowed down through the mid-stages, and there was, you know, it can get messy, and, like, Superlicious was really held up. It sort of just had a nice flowing run down the outside. So, this race, these are no good, to be honest. The only way I can see these horses being, like, winning races out of this is if they go back in class and, you know, Superlicious can go back to maybe a midweek sort of race or something like that. I just thought, yeah, these aren't really, really any good. It only gets harder from here. Silmarillion, whatever its name is, was good in the Silver Shadow, but, you know, it got a picnic out in front. And that form's fucking junk too. So, the fillies aren't good, but, you know, if these are, like, and we'll talk about it in a sec with the Sydney fillies, but they're no good. Like, if Lady Camelot went race those, she'd beat them doing fucking cartwheels, and everyone's saying Lady Camelot's disappointing. Well, she's racing her age group. Like, she's winning by three lengths, ease down. Anyway.
Well, I was just happy that Silmarillion got the maiden off the board, and yeah. I think she'd run in five races and just been edged out a few times.
Was she a maiden?
She was a maiden going into this.
Yeah, right.
I think that was a grey up for some people. Non-winner.
Oh, fuck. Honestly. She was a little bit soft, Betfair. Like, she was... I saw 280 before the jump.
Yeah,
She was quite... Like, on track, I saw such, they were betting 280. So, I sort of half thought about it, but I couldn't be bothered.
Immortal Star was the big drifter. Market absolutely knew there.
Yeah, she got away with one last time, and she's just no good.
Photograph should have spanked it last start, and yeah, you can follow Photograph, yeah. I think, especially up to 1,400. All right, let's go to the Mackenzie. It's always a good stepping stone to the Caulfield Guineas and even the Caulfield Guineas Prelude. 1,200 metres, listed event for the Colts and Geldings and Angel Capital. Much like a Little Deep, just the way this track was playing, it was... very fair. So run-ons did get their chance, and it was able to come with a late flurry and beat them all. I think we probably hadn't seen that from this horse since its amazing debut, and then it went to Queensland and a few things just went wrong. But very, very good win here. Posted a rating of 96.4. Beaten Bizusto, who you might have had a ticket for or were at least a little bit keen on it at the price, and Sergeant Major finished third.
Yeah, I thought I was home, but it was a pretty gross race. Not in the terms of the ratings. I'm saying it was a messy race with sort of Red Sea going backwards around the turn, and Epimales couldn't get off heels, and it almost fell. So lucky it didn't, because it is a really nice horse. So, you know, obviously forgive it. It was really soft in the market, you know, which everyone sort of expected. Like, it was threes out to $5 Betfair. It's obviously not a sprinter. The one they did back was the winner. They had a good go at it. It was nines into 580 Betfair, and they got it right. I heard the trainer, Clinton McDonald, talking about, you know, the tracks up there weren't very good. And, you know, Eagle Farm is... I've got no idea. I have never had a bet in Queensland, but I have heard that the Eagle Farm track is always been a bit weird. And, you know, you half saw that with like Warmunga. I don't know if it was the same day. Was it the same day? When Warmunga won by 10 lengths. Was that day?
I can't remember. It honestly might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Eagle Farm track's weird and it's come back at as a, you know, a three-year-old and it's run two to their one last 200 metres and it's all sort of last 200 metres once it's straightened up. It's a big horse. It's well-bred. It's a half to Barclays Square and, what's its name? The grey horse that's up in Hong Kong. I always forget it.
Hot King Prawn.
No, the one that's half to, that runs second in the Queensland Derby in the September run colours. The,
oh, yeah.
And the grey one.
It'll come to me.
Yeah. Anyway, it's by Toronado, out of the mum of Angel Capital. Anyway, I think this will get a mile. It's by Harry Angel, who was a sprinter, a really fast horse. But it'll get out over a mile. And this is a
Senor Toba. That's the one.
It. Yeah, Senor Toba.
I didn't use my phone. I promise.
This will get out over a mile, and I think this is a genuine Guineas horse. You know, it's not first or second seed, but you know, you think about it, like there's probably just about third seed for the Guineas off this, unless I'm forgetting one super obvious. But you know, you'd have to say it's broadsiding Storm Boy, and he's essentially run the same rating as Wonder Boy did last week. But you know, there's a lot of sort of sectional indications that this is a fucking good horse and it's well bred and like it's a good looking horse too. So and you know, but they've always been talking it up, so I'm quite excited about it. And you know, there were big indications off the first start section. It was like the last 200 meters there was ridiculous.
I backed it at massive odds in the JJ Atkins, and yeah, it was probably all just like things just didn't work out in Queensland. But he's got back to that that day.
No, he's gone way better.
He's gone better. But what I mean is, like, he's gone back to what we thought was what he was going to do.
Yeah, I think it's winner only out of this race. I think Epimales, you can forgive.
I've got a funny story about Epimales.
Yeah,
we did a bit of social media content, and we actually had Jack Jenkins mic'd up. And we were like filming him.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you told me.
A day in the life of Jack Jenkins, Far Jack, watching his horse run. We had him mic'd up during the race. And let's just say we can't use any of it.
Did you listen to it?
I've listened to it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack. But I don't blame him. Like, no, Johnny was either. Just climbing over heels. The horse has almost been knocked over. Complete forgive. Opportunity still to back it in the Guineas Prelude, I think, next start. Like, if you get a price.
Oh, it's going to be so difficult to price up. Like, what the fuck do you do with it?
Well, he was obviously way too short in the Caulfield Guineas going into the weekend. It was all just spruik, but
what was it? I heard someone say it was, like, inside 10 to 1 for the Guineas.
Yeah, it was $8.
What? Holy shit! Yeah,
but it's now out to $17 of a complete forgive run.
Yeah, I mean that's probably like it's probably 20 to 1 for the maybe like at this point anyway. Like I wouldn't take inside 20 to 1 or even 30 to 1 for it.
Say Angel Capital and Epimales go to the Caulfield Guineas Prelude next start, and Angel Capital's $3 and Epimales is $7. I'd consider backing him.
I wouldn't. Fair I'd enough. Want like 15s or something to back him.
Fair enough. We'll soon see. Mm. All right. Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, just quietly, how bad was the tab outage?
I didn't even... Yeah. That was bad. Not as bad as that day. Not as bad as that day. It was on Stakes Day a couple of years ago. It was a Derby Day or something.
That was the worst day ever, but it's still not good. It's probably going to cost... Overall turnover, I don't know. It's probably going to cost a few million at least.
Sergeant Major was good as well, by the way, in that race. He's by Pricier, so he'll get over further. But, you know, just targeting weaker races in the Caulfield Guineas.
Yep. All right, let's get up there to Sydney. How do you think the track played? Because it's very fast and on pace. Form King has rated it basically a firm track, like bordering on the two range.
Yeah, well, the shoot was firm. The circle was a little bit slower. But yeah, you know, for the Concord, you know, it was effectively impossible for Ballina Petita to run the sectional. She had to win that race. But, you know, we'll get to that.
Yep. Do you want to start in race six?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
We'll start in race six, which was the Furious Stakes. It was taken out by Manal, who was back to set weights, had the 3 kilo turnaround on Amina and has just lipped her out. So the result has just been reversed narrowly. Started $2.25 favorite, Amina $4.80. The rating is 96, just over 96.3. So look, these girls haven't done anything that special. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I think they've been put on, like, I know that you're only sort of first, second up into their preparations, but they've all sort of been put in scenarios where if they were going to run a big number, they could have and they haven't. So I can't really say the race has gone bad because it has, but, you know, they're just going to race each other again. So it doesn't really matter, does it? So outside of this, or if you see a... like if Lady of Camelot drops back in this, take anything above $2 because another bunch finish, they're just no good. They're not going to be, I mean, they're not awful. I'm being harsh. Like they're not completely awful. Like they're open grade, they'll be group two, sort of group three fillies. Like the first two anyway, Manal and Amina, they'll be at least group two to group three fillies. But the rest of them, I don't know, but... they're just not really any good.
How do you line them up with a horse like Autumn Glow?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what's going to happen next, I think. I just, with Autumn Glow, so they'll go 14 next with it. I don't know what the race is called. It's the T-Rose, actually. So they're effectively rated the same, Manal, Amina, and Autumn Glow. Like there's a little bit in it, but not much. So like they're really like these two horses are, I feel really well exposed and, you know, in comparison to Autumn Glow, who's, you know, it's had two starts and, you know, even though it did run, I expected it to improve last time that, you know, the track was on pace and you wanted to be inside and everything. There's just a lot more going on with Autumn Glow, and she's obviously had a lot better than what she's been, and she's got there so quickly. But at the same time, you can't really have her that short, especially at 14, because she's not a zingy filly. She's 14's just a little bit sharp for her. I feel like she's like obviously looking for a mile to 2,000 already. So I wouldn't be surprised if like Autumn Glow matches up with these next time and is beaten. But you know, in the flight, she'll win by 3 or 4.
Bang! There you go. All right, let's get straight to the Concord then. The $1 million Group Three, ridiculous, over 1,000 meters, crazy prize money. IME, they've absolutely got this spot on. Was basically $11 into $5. Has won, got the right run in the race for the way the track was playing. Ballina Nipotina's had to peel off heels, and she's been huge, running some really, really good sectionals late, second fastest last 200 metres of the entire meeting. Way to the Stars, basically a benchmark 80 sort of horses, gripped onto third. Private Eye fourth, and Giga Kick was the big drifter in fifth.
They gapped Giga Kick. They didn't go particularly quickly here either. So, IME, I think, you know, she's run a career peak here, but how much of that is down to just being put in the perfect scenario? Like this is, everything's worked out perfectly for her. This is her race. She's, you know, really, really good. She can keep running in these sorts of races. And, you know, we don't have a lot of depth. You know, we've got I Wish I Win, and we used to have Giga Kick. And, you know, he's had a couple injuries now, and I think he might be gone. So, Yeah, so she fits in. She's probably like top 10. She's been the top sub 10 sprinters in the country. She's speedy, so she can win these sort of 1,000 meter, 1,100 meter races before the big sort of ones get out to 1,200. And yeah, I think
Dave
Dave
has rated this the exact same as Mornington Glory's win in the Moya, which is interesting.
No, this is a bit better than.
Has he not? Are they one? Oh, is it 102.1 and 101.1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's got a little bit better than what the Moya did, but like if she Belinda Patina, I think they want to keep her in Sydney. I don't know where she goes. I don't know.
Is this the year that Belinda Patina can win an Everest?
I think it probably could be, yeah. I think this year either the 3-year old win, like she could, but I just think the 3-year olds or Jolly Star win it. And I think they're going to, like, well, Abhishek win as well. Like, it's a really exciting year because, you know, you've got the two sort of older horses that are still really good, but you've got the 3-year old.
So, what's the 3-year old? It's either Lady of Camelot. Hey, Sugi won't go there.
Oh, well, I think Growing Empire's.
Growing Empire probably won't go there.
Surely. No, they'll it's a deep year. Like, that. By the time I get to Everest Day, there'll be a heap of 3-year olds that are just like that are running above 100 and, you know, are ready to go and take that next sort of step. But yeah, I think Jolly Star's, you know, she's favourite. And I wish there was nothing wrong with Anisha Owens. So he's just there as well for Everest. Yep.
So Belinda Patina's run the best performance rating of the entire day, 102.5. That's anywhere in Australia. So
yeah, that's good with the weight.
Yep.
With the weight there. And which is really good for her because I think she just gets better the further she goes. It's funny that they've only got her past 1,200 meters 4 times and she's the best sort of rating she's ever done. So she's a fucking great horse and she'll be in whatever she wants. They should take her to the Manicato. But I think they want to keep her in Sydney. Private Eye was okay.
There's that Sydney sports bet bonus as well, the sprinting bonus that she is probably favourite to win now. Mm. Probably get a couple mil for getting the most points over those 4 or 5 races.
Mm. Private Eye was okay. He's lost a yard. He's not as good as he used to be. Giga Kick was 3 wide. I heard no one talk about the ride because, you know, he did the exact same thing Craig Williams did, but, you know, didn't hear anything about it. And he was no good. In fact, he went worse than what he did when Craig Williams supposedly slaughtered him. You know, the great
big game. In condition was the yard report.
Oh, and obviously, like, he did start favorite by like 1 cent on Betfair. And Af Kevin was awful. Trial Squib.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Remark was also pretty bad as well.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, was he unlucky? I'm pretty sure. I don't think he had the luck as well. I need to go back and watch his run. Speaking of good horses, the champ, race 8, the Chelmsford. Buckaroo. Tommy Berry has sent Buckaroo to the OSL position.
Oh, my God.
Who would have thought? Bot Chris and I Waller. Were just rubbing our hands together after this happened. His BSP'd $9.10. Just sat outside just fine. Bot honestly needs to just move to Sydney.
Yeah, I'm taking my talents to Sydney.
Exclusively there. Full I think time. You've picked...
Via
Sustina, $13 BSP. Buckaroo, $9 BSP. Stormboy, you said, was always going to beat Gatsby's, $2.40 BSP. I don't know what you're doing here, but anyway.
I don't know. I genuinely, like, I felt like the most intelligent person on the entire planet after it won. Like no one has ever smelt
at the 300. What do you mean?
Oh, mate, I turned around at the 200 meter mark and like walked off and I was celebrating, and I turned back around and it's falling in.
I thought Hinch got there.
No, I always sort of knew it got beat, but it was real uncomfortable. Really good win. I just still can't get over Tommy Berry, one of the most conservative riders there is, and Chris Waller from a wide draw. Like, I saw, like, as soon as they opened the gates and he's just pumping it to get to the front, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what? Like, I don't think there was a change of tactics either. Like, what are we doing? Yeah, I'm not complaining.
We're not complaining.
No. Hinge sort of first, this is the first time she's been good in years. Nonconformist. He sort of was trialing very well, and he's returned really well. He's been off for about a year. So that's good for him. Adelaide River, there are big signs there. He went straight past Sardozi. You know, I think he might be a Group One winner, actually. Is he? Because he was, I think he won that Group One up in France, or maybe he ran second or something. Anyway, he's Group One place, at least I know that. He ran second in the Irish Derby. Really good horse for Aidan O'Brien, and there was just enough doing late. You know, on a day especially where you want it to be up on pace. Really, really good win
He's a Group 3 winner and a dual runner-up at Group 1 level.
Yeah.
In the Irish Derby.
And the Grand Prix
second to feed the flame in that race as well.
Well, I don't know what they go to with him. Maybe they'd sort of try and win one of those mile and a half races at Flemington, but they probably want to aim up a little bit higher than that.
What's that 2,000 meter race? Is it
the Hill Stakes?
Yeah, there's that. There's the Hill Stakes. I reckon there's an 1,800 as well.
I don't know.
I don't have a good Sydney clock in mind.
Maybe the Underwood they could take him to.
The Kingston Town, Group 3, 2,000 metres in 2 weeks at Randwick.
I heard a couple of people saying that they were pleased with the Zardozi run. I don't see why. I thought she was quite poor. You know, she was in the wrong sort of... She wasn't in the worst spot ever, but she wasn't ideal for the day, but she didn't really do much. And
she was poor. Francesco Guardi, I wouldn't be surprised if she gets back to her... I wouldn't be surprised if Zardozi does get back to her form later on in the prep at 2,000,
yeah.
2,400.
Yeah, I'm not sacking her or anything, but I just think she's a little bit overrated. Like, she, you know, she's Kingman, Godolphin, Philly. It all looks good. Good stable. James McDonald's riding. But, you know, like, I can be a smart ass. Like, I'm not trying to be a smart ass, but, like, Buckaroo is a better horse than Zardozi. And, you know, she should not have started $2.40 Betfair.
Yeah.
So
a lot of JMAC tax on that, and a lot of just punters trying to find something that wasn't. But,
you know,
Buckaroo or Hinged.
That's in the early markets. Once they sorted out Betfair late, especially 16. Like, she's a mile and a half horse, and I was really surprised that they kept her so short. I thought they'd come for Buckaroo. Oh, actually, I lost that sort of thought once it was playing on pace, and I thought they'd back Hinged, which they did. But yeah, anyway.
Yep. He's gone to 100.3 there, Buckaroo, so a good performance, but I don't think he'll be challenging the top dogs come sort of the latter
spring. Doesn't need to. We got the money ahead of him.
We got the money. We absolutely got the money. How about you getting all the credit in the group chat? Not one person said, what on Ben as well. Like, I was tipping it as well, but anyway, don't worry about me.
No, fuck you.
Probably had a better result on it than Bot. Maybe not. All right, the tramway was race 9. Royal Patronage has been able to take this out, the import for Gay Bot. They've gone at a good clip here. Punnyform's got it going 5 lengths faster than the class to the 600. And I just want to commend Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott here, because they obviously had this horse really fit to, you know, be able to handle a tempo like this, kick off it and run a solid rating, 98.4. Amelia's Jewel was just okay. Maybe she wasn't ready for this, and she probably didn't find the exact lane you needed to be in. I thought she was solid, but I was still expecting a bit more. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I want to be like heavily disappointed in what she did, but there was enough there. I think the win is pretty good for an Epsom. He ran an Epsom Derby. You know, it's a nice horse. He ran second in the Dante. I think it's a Dante. Sorry, I'm being distracted. Amelia Steele this is not. I don't know. I don't think she's just not as good as what people think she is. And Kovalika was pretty good too.
I think she can still win an Empire Rose, Amelia Steele.
Yeah, she probably can.
And I've backed her accordingly. So hopefully she can. Two other races, just quick thoughts, like real quick. Redstone won the Sydney Lexus Cup, listed 2,400 metres, 97.6 the rating. Think and Fly ran a bottler for the Noonan, so well done to them.
Nick.
Some good prize money there, running second in Sydney listed race, and hopefully they can get its rating up.
Yeah, they've done really well with Think and Fly and other one? What's the other one they've got? I forgot his name. Is it Lotterock or is it?
Yeah, there's Lotterock. No, you're probably thinking of the other one.
Anyway, they've done really
well. What's
the
other ones? Fit a blank here.
Unfair dismissal.
Unfair dismissal, that's the one. Redstone, well, what do you think in terms of like Metrop?
Yeah, this got beaten by the other one that's sort of favourite for the Metrop.
Elias.
Didn't it? Elias? Is that right? No, it didn't. I swear it was in that race. Maybe it scratched or something.
It scratched. Scratched in that race. Got beat by Golden Path.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, it was heavily suited by the way that the track was playing. Strathtay was a little bit disappointing. The market knew about it. It's gone to a good level, but I'd take a little bit off it just the way the track was playing. It got a soft lead out in front, and Elias is still number one seed for the Metrop, I'd say.
Do you think $7 is backable for Elias this far out for the Metrop?
I have no idea what's going to go to the Metrop, so I can't really say that. But you know, Elias just seems like it's going to win the Metrop. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
I don't know. Like, I'm getting pretty tempted by taking that price. Like, I could see it starting $350.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, it's not my sort of go, but
it's absolutely my go.
I wouldn't tell you not to, yeah.
And the other one, just quickly, was Major Bill winning race 5. Carried the 60 kilos here again, on pace favors, lane favors, but it's posted a rating of 97.6 as well. So this is encouraging signs for this horse.
Yeah, yeah. He's run pretty much to his best, which is good. Like, he's going to get better over further. But I sort of wonder if his best is 16 to 12, That's where his best sort of runs have been outside of the Derby, and they walked in that Derby. He's going to be there in the Hill Stakes or, you know, the Kingston Town, like those sorts of races that you talked about. Buckaroo's sort of probably going to be there, those sorts of horses. He's just slightly off that level, but, you know, he'll lead them up and get every chance.
Yep. All right. Did he have anything else?
I don't think so.
Just going back to Melbourne quickly, Clinton McDonald hinted that Stanley Express is potentially their Cornwall horse and they're not necessarily thinking that Hayasugi will definitely go there. He said that on radio today.
Why would they not go to the Cornwall with her? What are they going to go to instead?
Crazy, but they are thinking of going to the Champion Sprint with her and taking the colt to the Cornwall.
They must think they're pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I'm probably not a fan of it, as I've said before. Like, win the group ones that you can win. She probably could win the other race, but, gee, I think she's probably the best chance of the fillies if she goes to the Cornwall. So,
yeah.
Maybe he was just saying that.
Yeah. I hope Angel Capital goes to I heard him say, like, we've got to figure out if he's a run-on sprinter or a or a middle distance horse, like, mate, come yeah. on. if they try and run him in a cool more, I'm just going to do my head in because he's so obviously a miler. But yeah, you know, it wouldn't completely surprise me this year if the Coolmore outrates the Champion Stakes. So, you know, it might be not the worst call in the world either.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a $1.50 chance going around in the Poseidon this week. And I think he looks every bit the Coolmore winner. So that's what I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah, well, like, it wouldn't, you know, I'm sort of thinking he's probably going to run 102 this week. So running 104, 105 isn't out of the question, the Coolmore for Growing Empire. So I'm getting a carried away with myself with that horse, but I'm a big fan of it, if you can't tell.
Yeah. All right, the only other horse I wanted to mention actually ran yesterday at Sha Tin. It is awesome to see. David Hayes has the new best sprinter in Hong Kong. His name is Ka Ying Rising. He's had 8 starts. He's won 6 of them. He's been runner-up on the only other 2 occasions. I only get the punting form data for this. I don't get the weight for age performance, obviously, for Hong Kong. But in terms of punting form, he has put in a new career peak as a speed rating, which is 12.4 lengths above the all-average benchmark. He sat on top of a even tempo. He's powered away, running really good splits on a soft track. He's run 11.3 for his last 200 meters and was throttled down. And it was in driving rain, carried the 61 kilos. Historically, this race is a terrible race for top weights. I think he's been one of the first to actually win it. It's usually dominated by those low in the weights. He actually won the Sha Tin Vase with 52 kilos at the end of last preparation. He's carried 9 kilos more on this occasion, and he's just put them away with ease. So he is very, very, very exciting. And I think when markets open for the Hong Kong Sprint, he'll be favorite over Lucky Swainess. So, yeah, some very exciting stuff for Hong Kong racing.
Sweet.
Couple questions, and then we'll wrap up. All right, Ruben Evans. He's a seat 1A in the Heiyasugi fan club. Bumped into him at the race on Saturday. He said, "Will you finally be with Heiyasugi in 3 weeks' time?" This is in terms of the Manikato.
I don't know. It depends what's there. I've got no idea what's going on. I assume we're going to be the same horses, and she was the best run of the closers, I guess. Outside of I Wish I Win, but, you know, he's probably going to be unsuited again. So, I don't know. She's probably top of the market. But I'm not sold. Yeah, I am too, but I'm not sold. She's like, you know, she should be favourite. I think she's probably third or fourth in line.
Well, the price differential between her and Lady of Camelot is probably wrong, just because she was the flashing light runner on Saturday, and she was the one who was sort of off the bit and didn't look as impressive visually, but... Yeah, she's obviously going to be a massive chance. She's obviously trained on as a three-year-old. She's come back a stronger version of herself, which is great. They don't always make that step, but she definitely has. So I'm still I Wish I Win on top in the Manikato, but, you know, it's Moonee Valley, and we hope the track keeps playing the way it has been, but you never know. It might not be. Yeah. Tyson Hunter has got a few. I seem to recall a special guest ripping into you about laying into Mornington Glory. From memory, you said it was no good. The Oakley plate was shit form. Do you still feel that way? Have you heard of Group 1 Gavin? And you owe a formal apology to Group 1 Gavin.
I think I've given multiple formal apologies to Group 1 Gavin since then. But no, we got that one wrong. He's a fucking Group 1 horse, and he's won one now. So good on him.
I think I was the first person to actually congratulate Gavin.
Yeah, you got on TV. Yeah,
well, people were messaging me the video saying I'm a Group 1 owner, so.
You claim that. I somehow ended up in
I was not trying to get on the broadcast. I was just trying to chase after him and congratulate him.
Yeah, sure.
Come on, bot. Give me a spell. But no, it was bloody awesome. And as I said, I was on top of the Stewards Tower. He was at the bottom of it. I was watching the race, and last 200, it's just come on Brownie, and then it's just relief. So I don't know, not too many people deserve it more than Gavin. It's very fitting that he's done it with a tried horse. Tyson, two more. Thoughts on Tony Otterbrey deleting his X account, Twitter? Does he equal a small cap?
I don't know what to think. He's just like a... I just wish we got to see Tony Otterbrey and Alan Edges on Twitter have a Twitter war. That would have been the best thing of all time. We haven't gotten to witness it. It's very disappointing.
Mugs Punting put out a thing saying we've lost some good Twitter accounts this year, and Alan Edges and Tony were, or should I say, Pride of Jenny. Pride of Jenny reincarnated into someone who can operate a Twitter account. Were two of them. I just think... I guarantee you that he's not as bad a person as what he makes out to be on Twitter.
I've heard that as well.
Social media just does weird things to people. I remember I got social media probably when I got it when I was too young, and I was really immature. And I get memories of some of the statuses I used to put up on Facebook, and it is so embarrassing. So embarrassing. So,
yeah, but he's not like too young. He's like fucking like a grown adult.
I know. But it can still, I'll give him somewhat the benefit of the doubt. But at the end of the day, I think him going off X is for the best.
Yeah. Made his horse dislikable, and it's very hard to dislike Pride of Jenny.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Speaking of Pride of Jenny, just quick one or two lines looking forward to the week ahead. What do you think of the Maccabi Diva and any other of the races?
Oh, it's stacked. It's Monday. I haven't really looked. I think Growing Empire's probably just wins in the Poseidon. It just depends on, we're talking about Chris Waller. So it depends what the barrier of Via Sistina draws, but you'd imagine she goes up favourite. She probably should be favourite regardless of wherever she draws. Mr. Brightside's, he'll be just there. He'll be second favourite just, I assume. And Riff Rocket will be there thereabouts as well. So I just hope Antino backs up next week in the Underwood.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a cracking race. Jump onto my app if you haven't already. The six-day racing. We are still finding a bit of value in the all-in. We've backed Wallenby at $15 in the Let's Elope. She was luckless, absolutely luckless in the Cockrum. Should have gone a lot closer to Quintessa, who's gone up the $4.50 favourite. So hopefully that's a nice over, but it's going to be a tough race. And we've also backed Sons Doot at $17 in the Bobby Lewis. She's going to be weighted down on the minimum. She ran the fastest late splits of the entire meeting on Carline Stakes Day, behind eventual Groupon winner Morning to Glory, might I add. And I just think down the Flemington straight, she's going to be a lot better suited. Mick D in the saddle. She's just got to sprint for a bit longer, being 1,200. So that's the small query. Maybe she's better suited at 1,100. But, yeah, I think she's a nice bet and will be really well weighted. But, again, it's a very, very difficult race. All right, let's wrap up there, punters. We'll see you back here on Thursday night. Not sure if we'll have a guest or not, but Bot and I will be there, and hopefully we'll be tipping up plenty of winners. Cheers. Pushing me.